Well, now that we've got that cleared up, we can turn in our Bibles and best to head to Proverbs chapter 13, I would say. No, Proverbs chapter 17. That's where we will end up, first of all. Doing a little series on the family. This is what I've discovered. You don't see it outwardly, but I feel like I sense that it's happening. All right. When you look at the husbands and men, you feel as though the men are there with their hands over their ears saying, please, I just don't want to know. All right. That's the feeling you get. When it's time for the mothers and the wives, you get the feeling they're sitting there saying, you saying I'm like that? You know, and it's a very scary sort of time. But then when the big hurdles are over and you're there with the children, looking at the children, the parents are very keen to come to church and make sure their children are all sitting there so they can hear that usual, children obey your parents in the Lord. They don't want them to miss that. But something I think we often miss as adults is our responsibility to honour our parents as adults. We often don't think of that, do we? In the Ten Commandments, it says, children, obey your parents or honour your parents. And does that mean that applies, that commandment, to your 18 and then you can dismiss it? Or once you leave home or once you get married, you know, you don't have to worry about that commandment when you're told to honour your parents? Well, it's true, there is an aspect when we're told about obeying your parents and honouring your parents. A lot of that does apply to when you live under their authority and you're living at home and you are to honour them and to obey them. But it's good to remember that when Jesus was on earth, he rebuked the Pharisees and he rebuked them for their man-made rules where it made it possible for a person not to honour their parents in accordance to God's word. Now, I'm not going to go into that, but he was talking to adults here, and he said, you guys don't honour your parents the way you should. He wasn't talking to the children, he was talking to the adults. And Jesus was upset with them. God himself was upset with them by the way that they were treating their parents as adults. So we are to honour our parents regardless of what age we are. Now, our responsibilities may change, things may vary, but we are to still honour. And although in Proverbs what we're going to look at this morning is primarily for children under the authority of their parents, if your mother or father or both are still alive, I don't believe you can switch off and think, well, this is for the children, I don't have to worry, I can sit back and just make sure my children are listening. No, I believe there are things that we can all learn if we have a mother or father who is still alive. So men, you can assume your position of, please don't tell me anything. And ladies, you can assume your position of, what, you're saying I'm like that? All right, as we look at children as well and honouring. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, that you gave us life. And Lord, you used our parents to bring us into being. And Lord, we know that some of us have wonderful parents, godly parents. Some of us have had uncaring parents, and then some of us somewhere in between. But Lord, regardless, I pray that we would not just learn what we should do as young people who are here, but also as adults in that area of honouring our parents. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 21, if you would look there, we read, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Are you a parent who has sorrow and no joy because of your child or children? Well, there's a reason for that. It's the way they've lived or are living. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1, we see something of the reversal. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Children, also, if you have parents, of regardless of what age, do you make your parents glad or do you make them sad? There's no denying that children can make their parents sad, regardless of what age they may be. As my children have grown up, I've realized it doesn't matter if they're little toddlers or in the 5 to 10 or the teenage or even now in the 20s, they still have the capacity to make me just as sad. It doesn't end, regardless of how young or old they may be. And so I'm very well aware that I also have the ability to make my father sad or glad, even at my age. As the child of Graham Mitchell, I have the capacity to hurt him even now as a 48-year-old. My mother's passed away. I can't hurt her anymore. Right? Doesn't matter what I do, she's not going to be concerned about it. I don't even know if she knows. But I can't hurt my mother. But I do know that if I don't show the honour to my father that I should, if I treat him in certain ways, I still have the capacity to hurt him as his child. I knew as I was growing up, my parents loved the Lord. I knew that if I chose to dishonour the Lord and go away from the Lord, I would have caused them great sorrow. I was well aware of that. And I know even now as a 48-year-old, if I now do something terrible, I will bring a certain amount of heartache and shame to my father. That will continue until he passes away. Now, what is true we need to keep in mind is, as adults, there are some times that we're going to make our parents sad and there's nothing we can do about it. You know, sometimes parents can have expectations on their adult children that are just not possible, all right? They may expect you to treat them in certain ways that are just impossible to do, and so you won't meet their expectations in that way. There are times when they want you to go a certain direction as an adult, and it's not the direction that you want to go, and so you will upset them to a degree. And it may not be a matter of doing what's right or wrong. It may be just doing what they think is best as opposed to what you think is best. When you're an adult, there are some times you can't avoid making your parents sad. If you have unsaved parents, you choose to serve the Lord and love the Lord, you're probably going to upset them to some degree. You can't avoid that. Sometimes your parents are foolish themselves, and because of this you're going to have to treat them in some ways that don't bring them very much joy as well. So sometimes we will hurt our parents as adults. But there is one reason we as children, regardless of what age that we may be, we should avoid bringing sorrow to our parents. And that is by acting foolishly in the sight of God. That's when we shouldn't bring sorrow to our parents. You know, depending on our parents, what they believe, what they think and various things, we may not be able to avoid upsetting them or hurting them in some things. But we should make sure that we don't upset the one who's going to judge us for the way we honoured our parents. And that is the Lord Himself. He's the one who says, "I am happy by the way that you acted as a child of this person or not." He's the one we better make sure we are wise in the sight of. Where God says, you are a wise child. We need to be careful or make sure we're wise in the sight of God. And so, that's what I want to look at this morning. What does God say is a wise child? And just so you know, I'll probably say son and father the most, but that doesn't mean I'm not meaning daughter and mother as well, all right? It's just I don't want to have to repeat both all the way. So I'll just stick to father and son most of the time. But the first one is found in Proverbs chapter 13. And this is probably the Old Testament version of children obey your parents, right? A wise son listens to instructions. Have a look at what it says there in chapter 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Then if we turn to chapter 15, verse 5, we see it in reverse order. First we looked at the wise and then the fool. This time we look at the fool and then the wise. It says in Proverbs 15, verse 5, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. First we see that a wise son hears his father's instructions. You know, I can't remember when I was just a little fella. I'm sure I was exactly the same as my children. But I did discover very early on in life as a father that children don't like receiving instruction. Have you discovered that as a parent? They think they actually know more than you. Even when they're like four, they still think they know more than you and better than you. I discovered this, I think it was when we had blocks and our children, you know, the little connector blocks, and they're trying to build a high tower. Now, I have built quite a lot of those high towers over the years, and I have a bit more sense than a four-year-old or a three-year-old, and I tried to instruct my children how to build a nice, solid high tower. Do you think they want to listen? No. They know how to build high towers. They don't need my help. All right. And I discovered that inbuilt desire not to receive instruction but think you know better is there from the very beginning. All right. That carnal streak within where it doesn't want to ask for help and thinks they know better is alive and kicking in every single child from a very early age. That was one of the little discoveries I got as a father. I thought I was helping them. They thought I was hindering their master designs. Just did a little tower. Now, of course, my towers were bigger and stronger, but anyway, they wouldn't accept that. Do you accept that these days? No, they probably still don't accept it. Now, that's just the way we are. Was that a crash? Pardon? Oh, bobcat across the road. I thought there was an accident. Building a tower. Dad says, I'll show you how to build a tower. I'll get my bobcat out. Anyway, let's get on. Now, you may be able to excuse a four-year-old, but when it's a teenager thinking the same, having the same attitude, you start to realize there's something scary going on. What's even worse is if that same attitude is there as an adult and they still haven't learned that that is their carnal streak. That's when you know they have serious problems. It says, a wise son heareth his father's instructions. Do you hear? You're willing to listen to your parents' instructions, are you? As a child, as an adult. You know, the word hear there doesn't just mean listen. It actually means that you take heed to what was spoken. It means obedience to hearing. And that can apply to just about every part of life. It could apply to just something where a father is trying to explain something to a child. And what does a wise child do? Well, then they listen and follow those instructions, understanding that mum and dad have been around a bit longer. It could be where they are warned of danger. That knife or that heater is dangerous. Stay away from it. A wise child will take heed and stay away. Believe their parents. But it even goes further where it will say, this is sinful and wrong and it's going to destroy your life. Stay away from this. A wise son listens and actually acknowledges, Mum, Dad knows best. I'm going to stay away from that sinful activity. Could be simply just obeying. Will you do this? Yes. That's how a wise son acts. But to learn how a foolish one acts, we see a fool despiseth his father's instructions. That's the opposite. Rather than obeying, you despise. And that word actually means to laugh at or scorn. Dad says, you know, this is what you should be doing because it's dangerous otherwise. What does he know? They despise or scorn at what they say. And so what we see here is the opposite. The father explains how to do something and the child argues that they know best. Father says that this is dangerous and they don't believe and they continue to do it. Father says this is sinful and wrong, it's going to destroy you. And they scoff at the father and continue to do what's wrong. That's how a foolish child acts. So the question is, young people, what category do you fit into? Do your parents have to argue with you about everything? You take a lot of convincing, and even then you don't want to listen? Do they have to argue about everything? Or do you accept what they tell you and believe them? Are you wise or a fool? As adults, you know, on the basis of these proverbs, were you a wise child growing up or a fool? You know, if you look back and you realize, hey, I was really foolish, I would suggest there's some apologizing you need to do. As I started to grow up, realized how foolish I was as a teenager, I knew I had to go back to mum and dad and say, look, I was sorry. I am sorry for the way I acted. The way I treated you, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? Maybe there's some apologizing that needs to be done. That's the first step of thinking the right way as an adult. But what about now? Is it true? It's true that you may not be under the authority of your parents, but God does say that a wise child will honor their parents. Does that means, do you actually listen to what they say? Or are they afraid to even give you advice because they may get their head bitten off? The reality is, they are your parents. You should at least give them the honor of being able to come and share their wisdom with you. When they feel like you need instruction, you should at least listen to them. Doesn't mean you are obliged to do it as an adult. You have the authority under God to make your decisions, but you should at least be willing to honor them enough to listen to them. Remember, your parents will always have been around longer than you. You can't get around that one, all right? They're always going to see more than you. And so that's a very good source of wisdom. Particularly if you have Christian parents and you've seen that wisdom unfold in years. But this idea of instruction goes even further than this, because it says, chapter 15, verse 5, a fool despiseth or rejects his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. That word reproof, someone who regards reproof is prudent. They are wise. The word reproof there simply means correction or chastisement. And so we get the picture that a father says to their son, "Son, this is dangerous or this is wrong. You need to stay away from it." Son doesn't listen, thinks he knows best. So he goes and does it. And so the father comes along and corrects him, reproves him to try and get him to go the right direction. And what does that son do? Goes off and does it again. Doesn't care what dad has to say. They don't listen to the reproof. That is not a prudent child. God says that's a foolish one. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21, would you? I find a very interesting passage to see how seriously God takes a rebellious child. This was when the Lord was setting up his nation. This was one of the laws that he implemented concerning rebellious children in the land of Israel. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 21 verse 18, "If a man have a stubborn or and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them." So we get the picture. They've warned them, they've disobeyed, they've chastened them, and they continue to disobey. What are they to do? Verse 19, "Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gates of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." That's pretty serious. If that was the law of our land, I think children would be very different with the way that they treat their parents. Today, I know in our family, it was, "Do I need to get the spoon?" I guess back then it says, "Do I need to take you to the elders?" And then if you're serious, you get the start getting the spoon out. "Okay, I'm getting the spoon." Well, there you go. "Okay, we're off to the elders. Come on." You know, I dare say they change their opinion of what they're going to do. Right? That's serious business, that what God says. That's how serious he takes the rebellion of a child. Actually, in Proverbs chapter 30, if you turn there, we have this rebellious child described to us. And you can look at any rebellious child today and you will find these things in them. I want you to see if you can see traces of rebellion in you. It says there in chapter 30, verse 11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." Proverbs 30, verse 11 says there. I got the right spot? Yeah, okay. They curse their father and they don't bless their mother. They don't thank their mother. They're an unthankful generation. Rebels are not thankful for anything. Verse 12, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." They don't think that what they're doing is wrong. "I'm doing nothing wrong," even though they're continuing in their filthiness. Verse 13, "There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up." That is, they are proud. They are not going to be told by anyone what to do. They know best. Verse 14, "There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men." Put that all together, they're cruel with their words and their actions. They don't care about anyone but themselves. Now, how they describe the next thing in verses 15 to 17, I think this is a beautiful little way. It talks about various things that are never satisfied in the world. And then it talks about how this is what the rebel is like as well. It says, the horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things say not, it is enough. So it's talking about there are certain things that have never got enough, like leeches. They always want more blood. The grave always wants more bodies in it, it goes on in verse 16. And the barren womb never says, I don't want a child. No, the barren womb is never satisfied. It wants a child. The earth that is not filled with water. The dry land always wants water, never satisfied. And fire. Fire is never satisfied as well. It will just keep burning. Verse 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, there's a bit of judgment, but it's talking about those who mock their parents and rebel against their parents. They are never satisfied. They're selfish, and they can never get enough. And so this describes the foolish child. Now, if we want to see what a wise one is, all we've got to do is look at the flip side and look at the opposite. And we see what a wise child looks like. Let me go through it. See if this is you, young people. A wise child thanks his father and mother. Loves them. Appreciates them. And doesn't curse them. Are you thankful for your parents? And do you love them? A wise child acknowledges his sin and admits when he's been wrong. Doesn't cover it up. Doesn't refuse to accept wrong, but admits their sin. Are you like that to your parents? Or do you just try and hide it all and never face your sin? Wise child humbles and admits he doesn't know everything and needs help. Are you willing to do that, young people? Wise child is kind and gentle and thoughtful of others. That's how a wise child acts. Also, he's content and satisfied and thankful what their parents have done. Do you complain about your parents and how little they do for you, or do you see the things they actually do for you and are thankful for it? There's a very big difference between the rebellious child and the wise child. The question is, which one actually describes you? Even as an adult, which one describes you? Well, there are other things that Proverbs teaches us about a wise child. Turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. 28 verse 7. Proverbs chapter 28 verse 7. Here we see a wise son has wise friends. Verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. The friends that children choose can be one of the greatest influences that they have in life. Peer pressure is very much alive and kicking still in our day, if not more so. And there is no doubt that the friends that your children have can influence them for wrong. If they're surrounded by the wrong types of conversations, the wrong types of attitudes, they're being drawn to the wrong types of places, of course, it's going to have a negative influence on them. But if you're a parent, there's something else I'd like you to think of. And this is often what we don't. Often what we like to do is, when our child is rebellious, we like to blame the friends. See? That's why he needs godly friends. Often we just want to blame the friends instead of seeing that maybe the choices in our child's friends is a reflection of their heart and their true nature. You see, we know that the saying, birds of a feather flock together. And you don't see this any clearer than if you go to a teenage youth camp. You can have like 70 or 100 kids. from various walks of life, from all different churches, but I know, because I've been to plenty, within a day, the rebels find each other. It's like they have this magnet, and you wake up the next day, and there's a little clump of rebels that they've never met before, but sure enough, they're right there. And they're a trouble the whole way through the camp. Right? It's like a magnet. And when your child is drawn to a rebel or rebels, there's a cause for alarm, and as a parent, it should start to show you what their heart is really like as well. Don't just blame their friends. Realize there's a problem with your child's heart. It says there in chapter 28, verse 7, the word companion, he that is a companion of riotous men. That word companion is a very interesting word. It means to graze with. It's the picture of sheep grazing in a paddock. And so it says there's someone who grazes in the paddock with the riotous is ashamed to their father. What we see here is it's the sheep, if you want to put it that way, or the children are attracted to the same paddock. They both like the same sinful things. That's what's really going on. And it is true, there are times when you may have an innocent child who gets drawn away by the wrong friends. But generally what happens is a child is drawn to a certain paddock, a certain way of life, and they meet others grazing there. And that's why they meet their friends. They have certain things in common. And you see that with young people today. They may have a certain band or music in common, and so they find friends with that. You know, thankfully you don't see it as much now, but when I first moved to Bendigo, you go down the mall and there was a whole bunch of goths grazing together, you know. They all dressed the same, they all have the same attitude on life, and they probably have the same sort of music and so on, and they just want to congregate together. Now, a mother would walk past and see their child there and go, oh, my child, they've just got wrong friends. Oh, what can I do? And they blame all the friends. Or they could say, my child needs to have something changed within their heart. My child needs a change of heart so they don't want to live or stay and hang around that type of person. And that's what we need to be seeing. When your child wants to flock to a paddock of violence, of deceit, or drunkenness, or parties, or wickedness, we need to see they need a change of heart, not just a change of friends. A foolish son who has a foolish heart will seek those types of pastures. And that's why you have the rebels seem to be able to find each other so quickly at a kids' camp. But the wise child will want to graze in godly pastures. And that's a blessing. They love the Lord. They love the Lord's word. They want godly music. They want godly things in their life. Now, sometimes, sadly, you might have a child and they have to be the only one grazing in the paddock. If they go off to some schools, they may be the only one grazing in the godly paddock. And that's hard. Praise God when you've got a few that want to flock together and graze in those paddocks. And that's why if you can get yourself some Christian friends, or young people in my class, if you can be a Christian friend to some that are seeking that, that can be such a big influence. Grazing in the right paddock with the right people. And that's what a wise person does. So, young people, what sort of friends do you have? What sort of friends do you seek? That'll show you if you're wise or not. One other thing. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. This is probably more for the home. Did I say Hebrews? Good. I'm thinking Hebrews. Proverbs chapter 10. had an awful feeling that I thought I was saying Proverbs, but I said Hebrews. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. This is talking about the sluggard. A wise son is not lazy. That's what it's talking about. This proverb sets the picture of a family, has a small farm, and it comes time for harvest, and the whole family gets in, they're harvesting, and everyone's there but little, I usually say Johnny, but I can't do that. Little Barry. Where's little Barry? Is there a Barry? No. Where's little Barry? Oh, he's sleeping. He doesn't want to come out. It's too hot. All right? That's the lazy child who doesn't want to get involved. And that's what it's talking about here. That's a shame. That brings heartache to the parents, while the ones that are there harvesting is a wise son. And today, most of us don't have little farms that we have to go out and harvest and so on. But we all have homes where there are various responsibilities. And it may vary, but there is the washing, the ironing, the dishes, and there's also the cooking and the cleaning and the mowing and the gardens and the repairs, and the list could go on. And the foolish child, little Barry, thinks that his life consists of eating, sleeping, school, and TV. That's life. That's fantastic. That's the lazy boy or girl. But the wise one understands that he is in a community, a home, with various responsibilities. They're the one that cleans their room, not the sluggard. They're the one who tidies after themselves, doesn't leave it for somebody else. They're the one that doesn't moan and complain when they're asked to do something. They're the one who doesn't dodge the jobs when they need to be done. They don't expect to be served, but they get up and serve. And this doesn't come naturally, parents, as I'm sure you've discovered. That's why we're told to train up a child in the way they should go. As parents, it's our responsibility to train them to do those things in their life. You know, I've never, ever seen a child make a huge, big mess with blocks, and then mum comes to start to pick it up, and the child goes, "No, mum, it's okay. I made the mess, so I'll clean it." You tell me if you've got a child like that, that's amazing, all right? But that doesn't naturally happen. Generally, you've got to teach them that and remind them until they're left home to do that sort of stuff. But it becomes a teaching thing. So, question is, are you lazy at home, young people? If you're not sure, go ask your mother. She will tell you. She will know if you're lazy or not. So if we're going to put all this together, a wise son listens to instructions. A wise son doesn't despise his father and mother. A wise son has wise friends and godly friends. A wise son is not lazy. You know, before we close, let's think of something maybe even more important. Each one of us who name the name of Christ has a heavenly Father, don't we? Question is, what type of child are you to your heavenly Father if you use this? Do you listen to his instructions or despise them? When you're chastened, do you change? Or does he have to do something else? Do you admit when you've sinned, or you just try and talk your way out of it or cover it up? Are you humble and accept God's help? Or do you think you can get through things on your own? Are you content and thankful for what your Heavenly Father's given you? Or are you one of those children of God who just always complains that you haven't got enough from Him? What type of company do you keep? Is the Lord happy with it? You know, the Lord has responsibilities for each one of you. Are you someone that is lazy and you're just too busy doing your own thing? Or are you doing what God wants you to be doing? You know, we know that when Jesus was upon this earth, the Heavenly Father was happy to announce to all there, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Could he say that to you? If he opened up the clouds and he was talking about you as his child, would he say that to you? Well, I tell you, if your Heavenly Father can't say it, then the chances are your earthly father can't say it either. And the best way to be a wise child for your earthly parents is to seek to be a wise child in the sight of God. You get that right, and you will be a wise child in the sight of God and your earthly parents. And that's one that brings praise, not shame, to your parents. And I trust that would be an encouragement to you today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you are the perfect Father. Yet, Lord, we are certainly not the perfect children. Pray that we would admit our sin when we fail. We seek that forgiveness that is possible because of that shed blood of Christ on Calvary's tree. And that, Father, we would seek to please you. And in doing so, please man as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.